Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, O Father, that it is pure, that it is holy, O Father. We thank you that it is life-changing, O Father. We exalt you for this word, O Father, that you're about to do. Bless it, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first message we taught in this series was, his first love. Then the second message we taught was men need love. Then we taught on charity. Then we taught on perfecting love. Then we taught on no love lost. All of these messages expressing how much the Father loves us. And my advice to you is that you listen to this word, you eat it, you study it, you take the scriptures, you write them down, and you feed those scriptures to yourself. You listen to it, you meditate on it, because you will need this in your life if you are going to get your destiny. You will need it. Our first scripture is going to come from Matthew 12, 28. And I'm going to go to 33. Give you the backdrop on this story. Jesus was talking to some Sadducees. Sadducees were just another denomination of the religious law. All right. And after he got finished talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and the thing about the Sadducees is that they didn't believe in a resurrection. But they came to Jesus, and they asked him a question about the resurrection. So now they didn't believe the resurrection, but they come to Jesus and ask him about the resurrection. And they put it in this context. They said, if a man marries a woman and he has seven brothers, and the brother dies, now, according to the law, it was the responsibility of the next brother to give that woman a child to continue the legacy, the lineage. So they asked Jesus, if there were seven brothers and each brother died, leading up to the seventh brother, when they all died and were in heaven, they asked him, whose wife would she be? Now, they don't even believe in a resurrection, but they're asking about the resurrection, okay? And so this is the tail end of this conversation where it comes in, where the scribes come in. Mark 12 and 28 says, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked them, what commandment is the foremost of all? What commandment is the foremost of all? What commandment is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbors as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32. And the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there's no one else beside him. And to love him with all the heart, with all your understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. All right? Verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, somebody say intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one ventured to ask him any more questions. All right. Now, the scribes come to Jesus and they ask him a question. What is the greatest commandment? We need to know. What is the greatest commandment? He said the greatest commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and that you shall love him with all." Somebody say all. Y'all gotta wake up. Somebody say all. With all your heart, not some of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And he said the second commandment is to love your neighbors as you love yourself. And so the scribe said, "We like the way you answered that." And they repeated what Jesus said. In verse 34, it says, when Jesus saw that they had answered intelligently, he said to them, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus told the scribes that they were not far from the kingdom of God. The reason why he told them this was because they had answered intellectually. Now, but not far still means that they don't quite get it. They didn't quite understand it. And the reason why Jesus is saying this is because he's speaking to a people who are still in Adam. He has not died on the cross. The reconciliation, the relationship is not available right now. None of them were saved. No one has received salvation. There is no redemption. So no relationship with God as a father has taken place at this time. And at the same time, they did not know Jesus. And because they did not know Jesus, they had no revelation of the relationship that he had with the Father, and they had no revelation with the intentions of this scripture. I'm going to tell you why. The commandment to love the Lord your God is not speaking to us loving him. I'll say that again. The commandment to love the Lord your God is not speaking to our love for him, but the ability to allow him to love us. The word love in this passage of scripture, when he says to love the Lord with all your heart, is not the word agape. Now, agape is what love is. God is love. This is not the word agape. Instead, this is the word agapoa. This is the word agapoa. And what agapoa is, it is agape in action. Agapoa is agape in action to impart. It is agapoa, is agape in action to impart agape. So this is God's love in action so that after he's done, we can love like him. This is the same word, agapoa, that is used when it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so initiated love that he gave his only son. This is the same word used in John 15 and 9 when Jesus says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, abide in my love." So what is he saying? Just as the Father has initiated love with me, I'm initiating love with you, abide in agape. So he's saying, just as the Father has given me agapoa, I have also given you agapoa. Now I want you to abide in agape. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. So I want you to give agapoa. I want you to initiate agape love just as I gave it to you. Now, the whole premise of this entire series is to get you to understand that you cannot love anyone until you understand how much the Father loves you. Amen? Until you understand how much he loves you, you cannot love yourself properly. That's why in this scripture, you have to understand that we cannot love God with agape. We cannot give the Father agape love until he has imparted it into us. So when he commands us to love him, it becomes an invitation to exchange love. It becomes an invitation to exchange love. And what he wants to do is he wants to give you agape. He wants to initiate agape towards you. In exchange, he wants your frail love. He wants your love that cut people off when they don't do what you want them to do. That cut people off when they offend you. He said, give me that love and I'm going to give you my love. So he's exchanging our fickle love. He's exchanging our love that disappears as soon as we get an attitude. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know that cut off love? You know that conditional love? That I love you until you don't do what I want you to do? He's exchanging that love. So he's saying the commandment is to exchange love for love. Your love for his love. What he's saying is, if you give me your love, I will remove your love and impart my love. That's what we want. That's what we want. And so the title of this message today is These Five Things. These Five Things. Things. Now, we talked about the Father loving us and us embracing that love. What we're going to talk about today is how we can love the Father. How we can love the Father. And it's going to be from these five things. The way we love the Father is by giving him all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and by loving ourselves. This is how we love the Father, because the commandment is not for us to love the Father. It is not for us to be in Adam and love him like he loves us. There has to be an impartation of his love. So what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through these five things. Now, I'm going to do a series down the line on the anatomy of the spirit man. And when I do the anatomy of the spirit man, I'm going to separate soul, spirit, soul, and body. And then after I do that, I'm going to separate heart, soul, and mind. And so down the line, we're going to go in more in depth with this. But on today, we're going to talk about how to love the Father by using these five things. And the first one is how we can love the Father with all of our heart. Y'all ready? The heart is the center and the seat of our spiritual life. As it is the fountain and seat of thoughts, passions, desires, affections, purpose, and endeavor. Now, I want to show you how this works. Your mind, your soul, and your heart are one. Your mind is the entrance into your soul. And your heart is the outpouring of your soul. That's why it says it is the center and the seat of our spiritual life. As it is the fountain. It is the fountain and the seat of our thoughts. Matthew 15 and 18 says this. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from where? Come from where? And those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. So, whatever the condition of your soul, man, your soul is, which is the center of your life, your soul is who you are. The one thing that we all have in common, how many of y'all in here are children of God? Let me get a hand. Okay. Since you are children of God, the thing that we have in common is that we're all in Christ. So at the spirit level, we are all Christ. We all have a body. What separates us from one another is our soul. It is our soul. And our minds is the entrance into our soul, and the outpouring of our soul is revealed through our heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You ever heard somebody say, God know my heart? He does know your heart. The scripture said, it is most deceitful of all things. The Bible says it is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. So the Father knows our hearts. He knows the conditions of our heart. So much that it says that he searches our hearts, he examines our secret motives, and he gives all people their due reward. Now, our hearts inherited deceit while we were in Adam. Prior to being adopted into the family of God, our hearts were deceitful. Prior to us being rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God, our hearts were deceitful. Our hearts hold the truest affections, and it brings to us life or death. I'm going to say that again. Our hearts hold our truest affections, and it brings to us life or death. How many know this scripture? Finish it with me if you know. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, is that why Jesus just said in Matthew 15 and 18, but the things that proceed out the mouth come from the heart. Where's the tongue at? In the mouth. I'm going to say that again. Our hearts hold our truest affections. And it brings us life or death. Our heart lets us know what the condition of our soul, our spiritual life is. So what the Father wants us to do is he wants us to give him our heart. And in giving him our heart, we are loving him like that. And the reason why he wants us to give us his heart, give him our hearts, is because the Bible says that from the issues, from the heart flows what? The issues of life. And so the Father is looking at us. He's looking at our circumstances. He's looking at our situation. He's looking at, once we come into the family, everything that you have been through. You have a past heart. You have a present heart. And then you have a future heart. Your past heart is the heart that has been run over by the world. is the heart that has been affected by the world. It is the heart that desires the things of the world. And so he wants us to give that to him. Like I said before, we cannot love him with all of our heart until we first know his love. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts. And so he wants us to give him our hearts so that he can impart his love, so that he can cleanse us of all unrighteousness, cleanse us of the wickedness. Why? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 that your heart is desperately wicked. And this is the thing I want you to know also, because when he says, let me get back. When he says, I give all people their due reward according to what their action deserves, what you need to understand about your heart is whatever you desire, you get. Good or bad. At all times, your heart is addressing either the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, or is addressing the kingdom of darkness. It's either desiring from one kingdom or the other. And so he wants us to give him our heart so that he can shape and he can mold it. Like I said, we have a past heart that has so many pains, that has been hurt, that has been tattered, that has been run over. Then we have our future heart that is our present condition right now, where your heart is towards yourself, towards your family, towards your friends, towards the world, or towards church. You have to have a heart for prayer. You have to have a heart for reading the word. You have to have a heart for loving people. He's letting us know that when you come into the family, you don't have a heart for these things. So the only way that you can love me is by giving me your heart so I can impart my love. And that's how we love the Father, with all of our heart. Y'all making me work today. The next one is all of our soul. We have to love the Father with all of our soul. The soul. This is where our will is located. This is where your will is located. It is the seat of our feelings, desires, affections, aversions, our disposition, character, and our appetites. Anything that you long for is coming from your soul. Whatever your character is at this present time in your life, it is the condition of your soul. Whatever your affections is, it is the condition of your soul. Whatever your desires is, whatever your aversions are, whatever the things that you dislike, the things that you hate, if you are a racist, it lets us know what? The condition of your soul. If you love people, it lets us know the condition of your soul. If you are a backbiter, if you are a hater, it lets us know what? The condition of your soul. First Peter 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God do what? Commit their souls to him. Commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So he wants us to commit ourselves to him. You can only prosper. You only prosper in life as your soul prospers. So the only way you can get the word is you have to put it into your mind. Once it comes through your mind, it hits your will. Once it hits your will, you decide whether you want it or you don't. If I told you right now that you were stupid, it would come through your mind and it would run directly into your will. Once it hits your will, you will decide if I'm going to accept this or if I'm going to reject this. If you accept it, it goes into your feelings. It goes into your desires, your affections, your disposition, your character, your appetite. Now, all of a sudden, you don't want to do certain things because you feel like you're stupid. The soul is powerful. 1 James 1:21. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save what? Your souls. What is the word asking us to do? It's asking us to give our souls over to the Father so that he can raise us to be who he predestined us to be. 1 Peter 1:22. Well, you know what? Let me touch on this a little bit more. It says, in humility, receive the word implanted or engrafted. So the more you read the word, the more you read the word and practice the word, the more you hear teaching and preaching, the word is engrafted in your soul. You become one with it. That's what happens when you either have faith or no faith. Your faith is dependent on what is in your soul. If there's no word in your soul, then you have no faith in the word. It said it's able to save your soul. The reason why it said it's able to save your soul is because when you are born again, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is saved. Your spirit is a new creation. But it is at the soul level that you need to grow. It is your mind that needs to be renewed. It is your heart that needs to be purified and cleansed. That's why in 1 Peter 22, he says, since you have in obedience to the truth, did what? Purify your souls. So how do you purify your soul? By obeying what? Truth. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purify your souls, for in sincere love of the brethren, fervently loving one another from the heart. So that means you put the word into your mind. You accepted it through your will. Once you accepted it through your will, it begins to purify your soul. And now all of a sudden you love the brethren. How do you love the brethren? From the heart. Because whatever comes into your soul, it settles in your soul. And whatever comes into your mind, it settles into your soul and it is distributed or pushed out into the world through your heart. So he's letting them know, once you put this word in you and you accept this word, you accept this truth, it is going to do a life-altering thing. And once it has done this life-altering thing, we should see some changes in your behavior towards yourself and towards people. Amen? So, our Father wants us to give him our souls, which is our will. That's why the Bible said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Somebody read their Bible. Our wills need to be redirected, purified, and committed to the Father as a sign of us what? Welcoming his love. When you crack open that Bible with the intentions of becoming like your Father, that is how you love him. When you don't read the word and you don't put it in you, what you're saying is, I'm not interested in changing, Father. I'm not interested in becoming like you. I don't want my destiny. I don't want my purpose. I'm not interested in no assignment. I don't want no calling. But when you put the word in you, what you are saying is that I want to be like you in every area of my life. I want to love like you. I want your joy. I want your peace. I want your compassion. I want to feel about myself how you feel about me. So, the Father wants our will. He needs our will so he can redirect it, he can purify it, and he can commit it. And we commit it to him as a sign of loving him. Then we will prosper and be in good health. I just gave you the formula. If you want to prosper and if you want to be in good health, what do you have to do? Commit your soul to the Father. Commit yourself to reading the word. Because the thing about it is, you're giving your heart to something. You're giving your soul to something, whether you know it or not. Like we teach on Wednesday nights, there are two families in this earth. You're either in Adam or in Christ. You are either investing your heart, your soul, and your mind in Adam, or you are investing it in Christ. That's why Paul said in Galatians 4:19, he said, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. This is all I'm showing you today is how to get Christ formed in you. Because the Father predestined this. He desires for us to be whole. So we went over the heart, we went over the soul. Now let's address the mind. The mind as the faculty of understanding. And all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Your feelings, your imaginations. The Bible says that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds and the casting out of vain imaginations. Your creativity, your desire, your intellect, your thought life. This is what the mind is. Like I said before, whatever you put into your mind, if you read fictional, if you read science fiction novels, if that's all you read, it will go into your mind. It will resonate in your soul, and your entire life will be based on whatever it is in that book. Watch this. Romans 12:2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So how do we love the Lord? How do we love our Heavenly Father? By giving him our mind so that he can renew it. He's not asking you to take your mind and love him. He's asking you, give me your mind. Because like I said before, you have a past mind. You have a present mind. And then you have a future mind. Your past mind was in Christ. Your present mind is the condition of your mind right now. But then your future mind is the mind of Christ. Ephesians 2:3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding. I want you to get this. This is everything I'm trying to explain to you about the mind, the soul, and the heart can be shown right here in the scripture. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Now, the hardness of your heart. Now, remember what I said. Whatever goes into your mind, whatever you allow to put into your mind, whatever your mind lacks becomes the condition of your what? soul. Okay. And from your soul, it is poured out into society, and that is the revealing of your what? Heart. Watch this. It says, being darkened in their what? Understanding, their mind. Because they were darkened, because they were confused, because they were ignorant of divine things in their mind, the scripture says they were excluded from the life of God. So whatever you don't have in the Father, whatever you don't have in your life, it is because of what you understand. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, in their soul. And because of that, it says that the hardness, that their hearts were hard. Now, this is what a hard heart means. It's when God keeps showing you super, when you keep witnessing supernatural activity, but it never resonates in you. So you can pray to the Father about a specific thing. Let's just say it's money. We all want that, right? Let's just say it's money. And every time you pray for this money, it comes. But then as soon as a circumstance or situation occurs, you lose faith. But last time you prayed for the money, it came. And so hardness of heart is when this continually occurs in your life, but it never resonates in your mind and it never becomes how you walk. And so I'll read that again. It says, being darkened in their mind, being ignorant in their mind or their understanding, they were excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them. And because of that, their heart was darkened. Colossians 1:21. And although you were formerly, when you were in Adam, you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, you were engaged in evil deeds. This was your former mind. This is why the Father said, or the scripture said, that you should love the Lord with all your mind. This is why you need to love the Lord with all of your mind. You need to give him your mind so he can renew it. Because right now, it's faithless. Right now, it's reckless. Right now, it is in a condition that is not going to prosper you in your life. So the Father is saying to us, give me your orphan mind. Give me your born again mind. Now, I want to use this analogy. When you get saved and you come into the kingdom, it is the equivalent of me being an American, born in America, living in America my entire life, and all of a sudden today, I got to move to Russia. I have to move to Russia. Now, what's the conflict here? Is that I have no idea how to speak Russian. I don't know Russian laws. I don't know Russian policies. This is what happens when you're born again. This is what happens when you come out of the orphanage into the family of God. Now you are living from his world. And it is the equivalent of you having to learn how to live in a whole nother country. So the Father wants us to give him our mind so we can renew it. So he can renew it, so he can transform it, so that we can prove, like Romans 12 said, that we are supposed to prove what is good, acceptable, and his perfect will. We are no longer to be ignorant. We are no longer to be alienated. We are no longer to engage in evil deeds. We are no longer to engage in lust. But the only way that this can happen, the only way this change can occur is that what? We have to give him our mind. And when you give him your mind, he's going to give you the mind of Christ. When you give him your soul, he's going to purify it. He's going to cleanse it. And he's going to make it like Christ. When you give him your heart, he's going to cleanse it. He's going to blot out. He's going to wipe out. He's going to pull all of the hurt out of it, all of the pain. Because you know what? It is people. You have no idea how many people you come in contact with on a daily basis, and they have never met their own parents. You have no idea how many people you come in contact with and they're on their last dime. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. They have no idea where the money's coming from. They have no faith. They have no system. You have no idea how many people that you meet on a daily basis who don't even know their parents, who's at war in their mind. Some people want to commit suicide. We have no idea. That's why the commandment is love the Lord, love your Father with all your mind, with all your heart, all your soul, and the next one is with all your strength. With all your strength. Now, your strength is your ability. It's to do it with force. It's with strength, with might. It means of one's strength, and it means to exert one's ability. Now, this might hurt a little bit, but we put all our strength into trying to please people. Amen? We care more about what people say than what the Father say. So when he asks us to give us all of his strength, all of our strength, he's saying, give me your abilities. Give me your talents. Stop trying to please everybody. I was talking to my sister one day, and she said, it is so depressing to go on Instagram and to see everybody doing it, doing so well. And I just feel like I'm not doing nothing in life. And my wife told her, them folks fooling you. Nobody posts on Instagram when they're depressed. Nobody puts the phone in the refrigerator and takes a picture and say, we ain't got no food. Most people wait till tax time come. Watch this. They put all the money, take a picture with it, and they don't post it to June. What are they doing? They're putting all of their strength and all of their abilities in trying to please others, trying to show people that they're somewhere in life that they're not. They put on their best clothes, take a picture, and post it on Instagram. Nobody posts a meal when they're eating ramen noodles. They just post it when it's a steak. A baked potato, you got some broccoli, the food looking good, then they post it. They post a new car on there, but they never post it when the car breaks down. Why is this? Because they're doing with all of their might, with all of their strength, what they're trying to do is they're trying to please people. You know how many people out here right now are missing their destiny trying to please other people? So the Father's saying, love me with all your strength. Why? Because I have your calling. I have your purpose. The Bible says that our life is hid with Christ in God. Let's look at some scriptures. Acts 5 and 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than who? Men. Stop obeying men, obey God. John 12 and 43 says, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. What is that saying? We love the applause of people. We love the applause of people more than we love the applause of God. You know why? Because the applauses of God are silent. Everybody can't hear them. It's not in a crowd. So we don't want those part. We're not seeking those applauses. We're seeking, look. I teach. You see how I'm teaching now? That's how I'm gonna teach when it's packed. You don't wait on the people to bring out your best stuff and give it to God. You give him your best at all times. Isaiah 2 and 22, I love this. Stop regarding man in whose nostril is breath. For of what account is he? Stop regarding people who breathe the same air as you. Stop being fearful and scared of people who breathe the same air as you. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily with all your heart. As for the Lord, rather than for who? Men, people. This is how you love the Lord with all of your strength. By disregarding the opinions of people and doing what the Father has told you to do. Stop letting people not support you make you quit. God give you an idea, run with it. He'll bring the crowd with him. But he's not going to bring the crowd as long as you stop pleasing him to please other people. That's why it says in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. That's why the scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. Don't do it in the name of people. Don't do it because your family approve of it. Do it because you heard clearly that God, this is where God wants me to, this is what God wants me to do. This is where he wants me to go. This is how he wants me to respond. Romans 8:12. It's a good one. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. What is he saying? Stop putting your strength in pleasing your flesh. Stop putting your strength in pleasing people. Because what you're showing, the Bible says, if you are those who are a friend with the world are an enemy of God. Because whatever you put your strength in, you show what you love. If you're going to grow in this relationship, particularly under this teaching in this ministry, if you're going to grow, how many of y'all can binge on a whole Netflix series? Come on now, y'all. No. I ain't going to look. How many of y'all can binge? Okay. So we can admit it. We can spend a whole day watching TV, can't we? All right. We should be able to spend a whole day praying. If you can spend 2 hours watching TV, you should be able to spend 2 hours praying. If you can spend all day doing what you want to do, you should be able to spend all day doing what he told you to do. This is how you show your love for him. It is counter It is counterproductive to be in a relationship with the Father and just do your thing. It is counterintuitive to the blessed life. The Bible says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It is counterintuitive for you to do your own thing, be the person that you want to be, and expect the blessings. You need to go on a social media fast. Do something spectacular in your life and don't post it. It's going to kill you, but it's going to help you. I got a 2018 truck. Didn't post it. And got a wonderful story behind it. How God moved for me, but didn't post it. Matter of fact, I went a year, and in a year, I'll probably post once. You have to, and the reason why you need to do this, because it is something about this generation, I don't know what it is, something about social media that we're addicted to it. For some people, it's their reality. It's their reality. They put something on social media, and they go back every 10 minutes and look at their likes. I'm in the house. They go back to look at their likes. I wonder if they care how much the Father likes what they're doing. All right. The next one. It's a good one. Love yourself. Love yourself. Now, in order to love yourself, this is what this means. Take all the affectionate reverence that you got from him. Take the agape love that he's given you and give it to yourself. Take how he feels about you and feel that way about yourself. Go through the scriptures. Find out what he has said about you and let that be the way that you feel about yourself. Because the thing is, you don't think I'm brilliant because you don't think you're brilliant. You don't think I'm attractive because you don't think you're attractive. You don't think what I'm going to do is going to succeed because you don't think what you're going to do is going to succeed. That's where the spirit of pessimism comes from. People are pessimistic when they don't love themselves. The only way to love yourself is to receive his love from his love gives us self-value, and that is what provokes us to love ourselves. I'm going to read that again. The only way to love yourself is to receive his love. His love gives us self-value, and his love provokes us to love others. Proof. Mark 12 and 31, our initial scripture, says the second love is this. The second is this, talking about the commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I can only love you how I love myself. The Bible tells, watch this, because it goes in stages. And this is the thing. People get married and they don't even love themselves. The Bible says, husbands, Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Now, the thing about that is this. We are the body of Christ. Then it says, for no one can love their body, loves their own body, or love someone else without loving their own body. It's impossible for me to love my wife and not love me. It's impossible for me to want her to eat healthy and I don't want to eat healthy. It's impossible. In the same way, it is impossible for you to love your neighbor. It's impossible for you to love your friends. It's impossible for you to love your family more than you love yourself. You got to be some type of crazy to invest in other people and you never invest in yourself. John 15 and 9. Just as the Father has loved me, what is Jesus letting us know? He loved me first. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. This is the love that you should abide in. This is the love you should practice. This is how it works. As you allow the Father to love you, you're going to love others. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It's right there in the scriptures. The only way you are going to be able to love yourself is you first allow the Father to love you. Watch this. I got proof. First John chapter 4, verse 9 says, by this the love of God was manifested in us. By this the love of God is manifested in us. This is how love is manifested in us. Evident. This is proof that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God. Huh. You see it now? There's no way you can love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. It is you welcoming his love. Because in this is love, not that we loved God. But that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. This is how you love God. This is how you love your heavenly Father. Our Father wants us to love ourselves first and foremost by first receiving his love. Love yourself. Because this is the thing, I gotta love some me in order to love some you. You gotta love some you in order to love them. Love the Lord. In my conclusion, love the Lord. How many of y'all, when y'all first read this scripture, y'all thought it was telling you to love the Father, to love God? And you tried so hard to love him. It don't make sense. When you look at the scriptures, it don't make sense. How can I love him? When the scripture says that this is love, not that we love God. Our condition proves that there was no love in us, period. These five things are all that the Father is asking us to give him to prove that we are allowing him or we are allowing his love to shape us. We are to love the Lord or love the Father with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and love ourselves. Giving ourselves to him is all that he asks us to do. This is all he asks us to do. Give me your life. How many of y'all heard the scripture that if you train up a child the way they should go, they won't depart? Huh? That's what this is talking about. He wants to train you up in the way you should love. And once he's trained you up in the way you should love, you'll never depart from that love. These five things.